participants to respond as well. So I'm going to turn the, toss the ball over to Herb Schultz, our CEO.
We have a roll call.
Is there a roll call? Oh, sorry. On the agenda, there's a roll call.
Okay, so Director Lindo?
I'm here.
Director Wortham?
Here.
Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President Hazen?
Here.
And President Roberts?
Here. So we have approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carried. We have public comment. If there's anybody that has any comments that they want to address to the board that does not have to do with our strategic planning discussion. Hearing none, we'll move on. New business, review of the initial draft of 3-year strategic plan. Go.
Great. Thank you, directors, and to my colleagues on the staff, and all of those that are getting their wonderful cookies over there to eat, so feel free. I think we have drink too, if there's water over there. What I'd like to do very briefly is highlight, you'll see it on pages 2 and 3 in your book, but just to go down and let you know sort of globally the documents that you have in your book. This is the initial review and discussion by the board and by public on the initial draft of the strategic plan. And so on page 2, I have a board of directors staff report that just basically goes through the timeline in terms of the development and the input into what is now the initial draft of the strategic plan. Important to point out that today is extensive review, discussion, and input for a 30-day period. We are not proposing any action at this meeting, but to ask for the board and the public's input and expect that the board will take this up for final adoption at its June meeting. Many of you have been involved in, if this works. So many of our audience, in addition to the board, has been involved in the development of the board's new vision. The mission has and remains the same in terms of assuring and achieving optimal health at all stages of life. But as you can see from the vision, which was adopted back in February, it is a very, very broad and very all-encompassing vision to guide the work of the board on behalf of the residents of the current district. And the strategic plan itself has been developed with the notion that we're one Coachella Valley. So it assumes the adoption and an expansion election in November 2018. So this does not separate or have lines in, say, west and east, other than if there are activities that can't happen until the expansion. But the thought behind this and the vision is for one Coachella Valley. Connecting Coachella Valley residents to health and wellness services and programs through philanthropy and resources, health facilities, information, community education, and public policy. And so everything in the draft strategic plan really takes the vision and breaks it down. And that's where I want to sort of just let you know that what documents you have in front of you so that we can sort of go through them. But I want to let you know that if you look at the pack, so look at page 3 of 32, and I'll just go through them. And I'll show you this, which will be in a second, which will be up on the board. But basically, I should go backwards, which doesn't work for me. Okay. So everything in this packet of information, if you will, is really regarding, it's a 3-year draft strategic plan. And what this chart will show you is exactly what we're going to be going through tonight with the board and with the public. And so it starts out, if you look at this graphic, it starts out with the organizational vision and looks at the board's new strategic vision and says, okay, based on the meetings in March that were held and before and since, we have a set of strategic priorities that are being proposed to the board and to be discussed by the board. And so once we go through the strategic planning priorities, the board will discuss them, the audience will get a chance to comment, and then we will go through a number of issues. We will go through the strategies. So if you're going to realize this vision, what do you have to do, if you will, to take strategies and move ahead the vision that you do? We then have said that there's four community health focus areas. So you've got the vision, you've got basically the priorities of the district and foundation, and then you've got what are the strategies to move those forward, and then what are those community health areas? And those can be programmatic, and they're funding as well. Those are the broad community health goals proposed that the board has. And you'll see a little bit later, when you talk about, all right, we've got this new vision, the board is focused on five priorities. What are the strategies that you're going to use to achieve that, right? And the focus of those activities, the community focus, the health areas you're going to focus on, we have two big pieces that we've talked about. One is the outcomes. So not only the strategies that you're going to use, but once you use those strategies, how are you going to measure success? How are we going to be able to say as a team to the board, we've reached success, or this one's not working, you might want to check this, you might want to check that. So outcomes is very important. And then when it comes to strategies, it builds, if you will, the infrastructure, both through a personnel restructuring, some new positions, but also some changes in responsibilities to more mature the foundation as a foundation, but also how you sort of move through this on an ongoing basis. So the vision is extraordinarily important. It's what we've been talking about the last couple of months. And then what's behind it? The board's strategic priorities is the first discussion. The strategies that'll help them advance those strategic priorities, and the outcomes to make sure that they're successful in meeting those. What are the outcomes? And what are the staff activities sort of behind it? And so not only have we been working with the board, with the public through the meetings that we've had, strategic planning meetings, we had, many of you were at the town hall forums that we had that we co-sponsored with Assemblymember Garcia. One was in Cathedral City, one was in Indio. There were packed rooms, 65 plus people in both, and some very, very significant input into how do you take that vision and bring it completely through. So this was just an attempt to first just sort of visualize for you. So I'm going to call up Bobby Wunsch, one of our two consultants from Pacific Health Consulting Group, where she'll go through the proposed priorities, strategies, outcomes, and focus areas, and then I'll take it back at the sort of infrastructure, which includes both staff and includes a proposed East Valley office as well for the board to entertain. This is not the budget document. At a risk of sounding really bizarre on a day when the president just introduced his budget, in Washington Borough, this is the authorizing document. This is the policy behind transformation. And then at its next meeting, after the adoption of the strategic plan, the board will do the appropriate, will do the budgeting side. So the budgeting has been developed. We've gotten initial feedback from the Finance Administration Committee, but the board will take up the budget part of this, how to operationalize this with the budget once it's adopted, the structure, the authorizing policy. So let me hand it over to Bob.
Thanks, sir. Okay.
Okay, hi everyone. Thank you for having us back, and we're very excited about presenting this draft plan. I wanted to remind the board that this is all based on the feedback that you provided at the March special session. We took all of your thoughts and ideas, the public comment that was provided, and all the input that we got in the time preceding, and have attempted to put it together in a coherent approach. It's my understanding, Madam Chair, that we're going to take public comment in between each section.
Right.
Great. So I will stop at each point and turn it over to you to ask for public comment. And Raphael's going to join me in some of the presentation, so we're going to be team tagging this. So first and foremost, as Herb said, the core after the organizational vision are the five big strategic priorities that will guide, think of these as the big highways on the roadmap for the next 3 years. This will guide all of the work of the district and the foundation. And these five priorities reflect directly the vision, the four components of the vision: resources and philanthropy, health facilities, information and community education, public policy, and the fifth area, which is a big focus in the next 3 years, which is the East Valley expansion. So I'm not going to read each one of these issues. Everyone has it in front of them. I just want to first confirm with the board that these five priorities reflect the conversations that we've had, and then we can stop for additional public comment before we go on to the next area of the plan. So any feedback or comments from the board about the priorities?
Go ahead. I think the list captures certainly the discussion that came out of the prior meetings and some of the survey work. For me, the top priorities clearly that emerged were health facilities, East Valley expansion, and a version of meeting community needs. To me, were the three overarching priorities and the top priorities. The resources and philanthropy, the information and community education, and the public policy to me are more implementation strategies, kind of the how part of it. And maybe it doesn't make a difference, but that it struck me that there were, this makes it seem as if they're sort of equals, and it didn't seem that way to me. Maybe others had a different view.
So Kay, could I just rephrase that and see if I'm hearing what
sure.
you said, that the three areas of facilities, expansion, and meeting community needs are really supported by
right.
resources and philanthropy, information and education, and public policy.
Right, and if you go further in, mm-hmm. Sort of comes out that way.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it just might be clearer and more focused were we to organize it that way. Again, that was my reaction.
No, that's great feedback. Let's see what others have to say. Les?
I understand that when you say health facilities, you're also including services, but this just sounds like it's an edifice complex, and I really think we should talk about health facilities and services.
I like that.
Good, great feedback. This is exactly what we're hoping for, so keep it coming. Other members of the board, in terms of these two comments that Les and Kay have made, any thoughts about the feedback? Mark?
No, I had similar thoughts on those, but kind of a question for you, because I started to renumber them. And I went, do these numbers mean anything?
No.
Okay.
The order really reflects the order of the wording in the vision. And I think if we move things around and reorganize in the way that Kay suggested, they're not priority one, priority two, priority three. They're just three or five priorities.
Because I looked through and went, clearly we've because of the legislation, we have the East Valley expansion.
Right.
And health facilities is something that we do really well.
We certainly can reorder them, right? That's.
I'm just throwing out, I guess they were important, and we may choose to reorder them.
Right.
As really important things to do. And then the others, the public policy, the information resource, and philanthropy, and you added a nice little end to that as well, or, you know, can fit in there. But when I looked at them, I made the error of thinking that one was more important than five, and it's not.
So we'll think of a better way to illustrate them, and maybe even make a comment to that end.
I understood what you were saying, Kay, but I also think that information and community education is such an important thing that we need to do better. And therefore, I think it fits into sort of the strategic priority. And public policy, I think it just sort of, there's nobody else doing it, and if not us, who? I understand what you're saying, but I'm less uncomfortable with these because we're really just doing a matrix. This is sort of like, let's look at our priorities, our actions, using these tools. In a way, the East Valley expansion is really not one of the tools. And so that's the one that, if you're using the definition here. But again, I think that these are all the areas that sort of add to the vision, and but that doesn't tell where our health priorities are going to be. And that comes later.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, anything you want to add? Madam Chair?
I like that your wording in East Valley expansion, especially fairly balancing the health needs of the residents. And I think that, you know, that's most valuable to engage the residents in the expansion region so that they understand the priorities of this district in that area.
Great, thank you. Okay, Kirk, anything you want to add before we go to public comment?
No, I think that's all great.
Okay, yeah, really good. When we come to the end tonight, I'll kind of summarize based on the feedback, so we'll know where we'll be when we see the next version. So shall we stop for public comment now? Or
if you like.
Okay.
Is there any public comment on strategic priorities? Go ahead.
Just a brief one. Dr. Zendel, I really agree with your comment. I'm the CEO of Inland Empire Health Plan. So I liked your comment about facilities, because I think that's a limiting word, because the reality is when you go back deeper in the strategic plan, it's really about delivery, it's providers and delivery of health services. So I don't know if you want to think about, because facilities makes me think of a really big building, mm-hmm. when really it's about delivery of services to the community. So I'll let that, just to emphasize that.
Thanks, Brad.
Anything else? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on.
Okay, so the next piece of the plan, first we have the priorities, then we have a long discussion in March about what are the major community needs that the district and the foundation want to focus on through these strategic priorities. So Rafael is going to review these four community need areas and see how they resonate with the board, and then we'll have public comment.
Hi everybody, Rafael Gomez with Pacific Health Consulting Group. As Bobby said at our planning session in March, the board identified four big community health focus areas to really address through programming and funding in the priorities that we see articulated in the plan. They included behavioral health and homelessness, including inpatient community-based services, mental health services and programs, substance use treatment, and also the related issue of homelessness affecting those populations with mental health and substance use issues, primary care access and delivery, both in terms of the workforce and in pursuit of stable primary care services and programs in the community. The healthy eating and active living conversation really did focus both on promoting healthy communities, healthy lifestyles, and also treating services and programs that address chronic conditions. And lastly, quality, safety, accountability, and transparency around advancing the provision of high-quality services and programs with clear accountability for those district-sponsored programs and services. And so I start with the board to see if you have, first of all, as Bobby highlighted in with strategic priorities, if this reflects the focus areas that we discussed, and if there is any comment in terms of edits or changes to the focus areas.
I would have one comment, and that is I'd like to see something about collaboration with existing services and programs in the Valley, so it doesn't look like that this is our one page, we're going to do it all.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that we can think about in mm-hmm. terms of the priorities and strategies that are
right
now
right.
as well. Thank you.
Anything else?
I'm really encouraged with the behavioral health and homeless piece, and I think that if we were to prioritize things here, probably can be one of the biggest things that we can contribute.
And Rick, working with this, the way that we phrase addressing homelessness in terms of mental health and substance use populations, is that's accurate in terms of our conversation? I know that was a page.
Yeah, the only thing we might want to evolve is the integration. So when we look at organizations like Atlanta for Health Fund, they're really looking at the integration of behavioral health into primary care.
Uh-huh.
So somehow we need to encompass that as well. And so we can put that either in the primary care context that we are going to, those things will be integrated. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be important in the book forward.
That's important, I think, too.
Yeah, that's great.
Other comments? Director Matthews,
In the last one, quality, safety, accountability, and transparency, it talks about delivery. We're only talking about the delivery of district-sponsored services and programs. But I also think we have a responsibility that our own facility, we're not delivering services and we're not doing programs, but we own a hospital, and we have an accountability to make sure quality, safety, accountability, transparency is delivered there. It's in the lease.
That was the intent of this, and we will wordsmith of what we were bracketing off,
right.
Was that because the district doesn't deliver, others do, we were talking specifically about the hospital things that we own. So that was the intent, but it doesn't read that way to you.
And maybe it's not just district sponsored, it's district owned and sponsored, or something like that.
Well, I guess let me ask you this question then, as we were talking. When you say sponsor, with the second half of what you just said, if you said sponsor, does that extend to federally qualified health centers that we have funded? We were making a distinction between the hospital and anything else you built versus what you might have built out. So could you potentially fund programs at a clinic to ensure greater quality or safety?
Right, and we have a responsibility to make sure any grants we provide that we're holding people accountable in those general areas, but that's a little different than the facility, I think.
Okay, I think that's right. That's why we're digging down, because that's just the question is, will you use district funds to help other people to do grants get increase, say, the level of quality?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm not, the services and programs is very important. I would just add facilities there. I'm not sure where it gets added, but.
Okay, good. That's great feedback. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any more feedback from board members? Any feedback from community members? Go ahead. First to you.
Jerome Estes, I'm a psychiatric nurse with San Antonio Intensive Outpatient Program. I'm kind of curious about the thinking that puts behavioral health and homelessness under the same category. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To me, they're entirely two separate issues. I don't understand. I'm just, maybe you can help me understand that.
Would you like to?
I think the initial discussion that the board had is about the importance of both behavioral health, both mental health, substance use disorder, and homelessness. And the sort of conversation merged a little bit, but was not meant to take away from the fact that they now have a West Valley Homelessness Initiative or some of the work that they've done on it. I didn't see this, and maybe we can clarify before, but I didn't see this as concluding the work in homelessness solely on mental health and substance use.
My problem is when you put behavioral health and homelessness together, it weakens each one. Homelessness is an entirely different issue that has different problems, different solutions, different kinds of people. Behavioral health is a huge category, and to put those together would be like putting, to me, diabetes, say, and obesity. They're part of each other, but you wouldn't want to put them together under some kind of priority. Homelessness is a priority on itself, so is behavioral health.
I think that
especially
that's, yeah, thank you. I think that that's well taken, and that's why we're having this discussion.
So, I've seen it. I think I was at a meeting several months ago, and it was in Tennessee that did the same thing. I'm just seeing that behavioral health needs to be prioritized. So.
Got it. I understand. Dr. Kim first, and then your neighbor.
I think what may solve that is if you include behavioral health in primary care services and further delineate what primary care services you're actually doing. Are you going to make it all encompassing to include OB, pediatrics, psychiatry, internal medicine, family medicine, because all of those would be encompassed under primary care, or is it just certain parts of primary care? And then maybe also delineate age groups that you're going to deliver those services. Is it inclusive of all age groups, or is it mostly adults, or is it including newborns, geriatrics? I think that might be helpful.
Great, good distinction, thank you.
Lynn Barat, Parker's Village and Kitchen, and obviously I'm going to, hello darlings. I'm going to, when you talk about the homeless, everything you have up there falls under homelessness, truly. So when you, but when I read it, I have the same feeling he did. As a homeless provider, but Moss also serves 6,000 of those impoverished communities every year. So for me, when I look at it and I read it, it was, I had the same take. It was almost like saying, you need behavioral health if you want. I mean, that's how it reads to me, right? And
right.
That's not the case. I guess when you say behavioral health, for me, when I look at the homeless population, most of them, I would have to say 90% have depression and anxiety, but it's not long-term if we're doing our job. Right? So when you say behavioral health, are you looking at chronic mental health issues when I'm reading this? I guess because I am me, I try not to read into it, but there are certain things that just kind of glare at me and need some clarification. I've read this whole thing and love it. I just think it needs a little bit of clarification. And I know you guys will do this when you actually set your priorities, and you will become more clear at that time. I know this, so thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Can I just add something?
Okay, Dr. Sandel.
You know, looking back at what we were talking about a couple of months ago, I think the reason we lumped them together is because we wanted to make sure that we didn't talk about homelessness without talking about behavioral health. But the points you're making are so true, and I am comfortable splitting them apart.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks. Carol, I want to talk a little bit about collaboration. I thought that was a really important term. And Kay, I got to go back to when we were working together a few years ago, and IBHP maybe had 300,000 members, but maybe 30,000 in the Valley. We have 1.26 million members, and 134,000 members in the Valley, depending upon how you count during what time of year it is, that's 40% of your population. So 40% of your population is low income enough. For those who don't know, IDHP only covers individuals that are very low income, because we do Medi-Cal and we do individuals that have both Medicare and Medi-Cal, dual eligibles. So other than really adults that are not here legally, we cover all the low-income people in the valley. So for me, Carol, your point about collaboration is really important. I do happen to agree with the comments. I think homelessness crosses all of these things. There's real issues about delivering any kind of primary care to an individual that's homeless. But I want to focus on a couple things. One is behavioral health, from an access standpoint, is really, really difficult in the valley. There are not enough psychiatrists. There's probably not quite, but there's therapists is a little bit better in terms of like LCSWs, LMFTs, psych NPs, but for psychiatrists and child psychiatrists is actually not anywhere, real issue for our members. So that to me is a place where if you're thinking through as the board of the district, where you're gonna make investments, we need to talk. Because just as one example, we have a network expansion fund, which some of the individuals in this room have taken advantage of, where we pay half of the cost of the first year of a provider. So we cover the half the cost of an LCSW, an LMFT, a psychiatrist, a primary care doc, a specialist. And that program is ongoing. So that would be a great place where we could make double investment and really, really make a difference. And so we've paid for two family practitioners out here. That's not enough. We need to do more than that. We also have a capital fund that helps with people that want to do some capital investment. So on the behavioral health side, it's a real issue for our members. You know, we've got a little bit of partnership with Borrego Health, but we've got psychiatrists, most of them aren't taking new patients. So there's a real shortage. Primary care, a little better. You know, we have a pretty good network out here, pretty good specialty network. We have all three hospitals that we work with. But in general, as you know, Riverside County, San Diego County have the worst ratio in the state for primary care to population. This is not just, you know, for Medi-Cal, it's across the board. We were number two behind the Central Valley, but we're now number one with the worst ratio for primary care in the state of California, which is not a good thing. We have funded two family practitioners out here, and we've worked with UCR and some docs. But another area where, you know, doctors, at your point, if we're talking about services and potentially providers, we need to work together. And we've got, you know, some funds that are available. So I would want to really, you know, Herb and I have already talked about some of this, where as you see your points of intervention, you know, get us engaged, because we can help. We're big and we've got a real need, and we've got 40% of your population that we're responsible for organizing their care. So I think your word is perfect, Carol. You started with collaboration. You know, we're the biggest health plan out here, literally. So, you know, how we can work together is really good. You know, healthy eating, active living, probably not as much. I like the quality comment. But our focus would be very heavily around access, and then, of course, the quality related to that access. So anything we can do, I apologize because I'm going to take off because I'm going to drive to a cooler part of the county. But not a lot cooler, but a little bit cooler. But just wanted to really make sure that we've not been as connected as we should. We were back, you know, back in the day before. But with, I think Herb here and the board, you know, we really look forward to working with you on projects together.
Appreciate that.
So we're here to assist and collaborate.
Appreciate
that. Okay. So any other questions for me, or appreciate the opportunity to come and comment.
I have a question for you. Yeah. Do you want to make any comments about pediatrics?
A little better for pediatrics. We tend to have the shortages around adult medicine, and particularly internists, because our members are getting really complicated. I mean, to the point, there was a point, I think, Jennifer, I think you talked about integration. So now what we're doing is delivering behavioral health services in primary care centers, or primary care services in behavioral health centers. Because we've got members that are, especially the dual eligibles, that are incredibly complicated. So we need internists, some FPs, probably more than PEDS K actually. OBs are in pretty good shape, so I'd probably say internists and FPs.
And I would add nurse practitioners and physician assistants.
We fund nurse practitioners and PAs. So we fund, you know, across the board for all providers. But very good point. Sometimes those are the key, you know, individuals that you can hire that can really, you know, extend the practice.
Especially when you're doing case management for multi-disease chronic care.
Yep. Very good point. Okay?
Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Lady from Martha's Kitchen.
Can I make one comment?
Sure.
On homelessness? I would really suggest that you define what the definition is of homelessness, because it's been there, right? That means your folks that are truly on the street. And then when you look at the Department of Education, there's a whole nother definition of homelessness, which includes those that are, what I would say, are more in a non-fixed and regular place. That means I get to stay with my mom for 3 days, 2 days in my car. But they don't fall under the Vento Act, which is what you see in your point in time count, which is that, what, 2,500 that we keep, that went up a little bit. But there's also, there's tens of thousands of them. And who follows them a lot is the Department of Education, because it tends to be single moms with kids. But in my opinion, they're homeless, you know, and they need help. So you need to make a definition for what is eligibility for homelessness, and I would urge you to do that. If you use the Vento Act, you exclude an awful lot of people. If you take a look at what the Department of Education through the, what is it, the Integrated Council, where they all come together, education, HUD, and all of those particular groups, is a whole different set and encompasses those that are so highly at risk that they're hanging on by the fingernails, sleeping on somebody's floor. They can be added if you choose to use not the Vento description for homelessness, but yeah.
Thank you. Good point. Thank you. Go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Chantel. I work at Find Food Bank, but I've also been involved in the Valley for a good 15 years going back, and would just like to appreciate the relevance for this body, this foundation, to maintain mental health and behavioral health as a priority, because that was my first position here, was to work in one of those community-based agencies and to see the deplorable lack of resources that are available. So I would just support keeping that as an absolute top priority, and appreciate keeping the healthy eating, active living. I've seen that program in similar organizations. It's, for me, it ties together the rest of it, because if you don't have a healthy populace, they can't take advantage of anything, even if your access is improved. And so I think, you know, having worked on both ends of that community service spectrum, I think that that's the piece that brings it all together nicely. And I applaud the several times through this that you guys would rejuvenate every couple years this conversation. It's an important community conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Go ahead.
I have a comment. I've been living and working in the healthcare industry out here for 20 years. And I'm glad to hear somebody talk about collaboration, because that's been the elephant in the room. Serious collaboration has not existed. I think everybody's been working in their own little private silos. So that's going to take, to me, service has been duplicated, resources have been duplicated. So the collaboration is something a lot of energy needs to be put into. But I don't see the word housing anywhere. I'm just wondering about that. Nowhere is housing mentioned.
Yeah, I think that eventually we'll get there in terms of our discussion, but we will keep that thought.
I think that's huge.
It's huge.
You're discussing homelessness. How do you discuss homelessness without discussing housing?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, we discussed it earlier today as a part of a homelessness initiative. So I think you're right, and I think you'll see it in the implementation. Yeah. And next stages.
Yeah, it's clearly direction from the board at our own meeting and the initiative that they set aside up to $2 million for the housing was there. It was written before even I knew the board's history in terms of doing housing. So.
I would add one more comment, and that's that I think the public policy strategic priority really is where a lot of the collaboration comes in. Because, like I said, if no one, there isn't really any other organization besides the Desert Healthcare District that can bring in the different organizations that are delivering healthcare and do that. So I think that's one reason why public policy is there, to make sure that we are the leaders in collaboration between organizations.
We've had many conversations with CBOs and residents. So for example, the budget in Washington, the American Healthcare Act, the nutrition chapter, the farm bill, many of us are old enough to remember ketchup as a vegetable in the Reagan administration. So those things are important to them to sort of help set the policy.
Okay. Any other comment? Moving on.
Okay, so now we're going to walk through the five priorities and the proposed strategies, which there's just a couple for each priority area, and also look at the outcomes that have been proposed for each priority area. The purpose of the outcomes, they're very important to the plan because they're the way we'll be able to measure progress on meeting the priorities and implementing the strategy. So we really look forward to the board's feedback on the outcomes, of course, as well as the strategies. So we're gonna walk through this priority by priority. We'll go through it quickly, but we do wanna focus on each one and get the board's feedback on each one. So we may, based on the comments, reorganize the way the plan is structured, but we don't want to lose the content in terms of the strategies and the outcomes. So even if we reorganize the plan based on the earlier feedback from the board and the public comment, we still want to go through these because we want to keep the content essence, and we'll find a place for the content to live if we restructure the plan. So just so everybody knows that we haven't forgotten these earlier comments. So first, let's focus on resources and philanthropy. The two strategies are related to building the philanthropic role of the district and the foundation, which includes developing a deeper infrastructure and focusing philanthropic efforts, meaning fundraising, to reflect the community needs that have been identified in the community health focus areas, and then to be able to fund targeted health initiatives. And for those two strategies, we've identified that metrics have to be developed for each funding initiative so that we can measure for each funding initiative what kind of success you are looking for, and also that philanthropic giving will be increased by at least 10% annually. So those are the two outcomes that we've identified for this priority area. So I'd like to ask the board for any feedback on the strategies and particularly on the outcomes.
Well, I think that we have discussed having a consultant that has huge experience in philanthropic organizational skills that can help us develop relationships with existing nonprofits. The district has had, the foundation has had a long history of working with other nonprofit philanthropic organizations that we can follow up on, that we've already had some key conversations with, and I think that that's very exciting about how we can expand our foundation to deliver services, not just in the East, and not in just the West, but East Valley as well. Any other comments?
I would be very careful about measuring health status changes as an outcome measure. First of all, I think that happens over a long period of time. Usually when you start measuring things, you start with processes, and then eventually you can do outcomes. But a lot of these things that we're going to do in terms of health status changes take a long time. I mean, we can measure how many people are getting to see a mental health provider, but it's going to be a long time until we can necessarily measure a decrease in teen suicide. So I would just be really careful about hanging too big a hat on outcome measures.
Good. Thank you, Les, for that suggestion. We'll work around those words a little bit. Good point.
Any comments from the community?
Okay, so on, I just want to remind everybody, just to what the chairperson mentioned, the next step after the plan is approved is to develop a detailed implementation plan. And once the budget is approved, that will be aligned with the strategic plan. Then the implementation plan will be worked on, and that will be a year-by-year detailed effort identifying staff responsibilities and many activities that will push all of these priorities forward. So stay tuned. When we talk about next steps, we'll talk about this again, but just as a reminder to everyone that remember, this is the big, broad highway map or the road map, and there's a Thomas Street Guide that will be developed each year to guide the work of the staff and to guide the budget on an annual basis. Okay, let's go on. Oh, yes?
By the way, millennials have no idea what Thomas Street Guide is.
That's pretty much
maybe less.
She uses this.
Okay.
I've never understood it.
Now bring one.
You know that thing you used to keep in your back seat?
All I can say is you're pushing millennials.
Anyway, the highway map versus the map of back alleys.
Let's hear it from the LGBT Center. As a true millennial, I will also echo your own. I just wanted to make sure that I have the first strategy clear. So, are you talking about the role that the foundation will play in terms of increased philanthropic giving, or are you referring to increasing funding by promoting more philanthropy amongst the communities to support the foundation?
Oh. Well, I guess I'll take sort of step one. I think it's, number one, it's focused on the vision and the recognition that basically what the district's biggest function, having a hospital and a very important one, is a philanthropic one. And want to grow and, in the marketing communications area, identify. So likely we'll be bringing back or potentially maybe a name change because most people don't know what the district is, they can relate to it as a foundation. We can call it anything that still has the functions that it has. In the second issue, the board has always made it very clear that it doesn't want to do anything that would impede or impact negatively against community organizations. There may be community benefit and other foundations where they have fundraised together, the California Endowment and the district, $1.2 million out to six community-based organizations. But there are likely some areas within this where the homeless initiative that they talked about earlier, where we would be fundraising on behalf of the board to have a more strengthened pool of funding. But there is a sensitivity about not taking from others.
Okay, so now we're going to look at priority number two, health facilities. We got a lot of feedback on focusing this on both health facilities and services. So just remember the previous comments, and we'll incorporate those as we go through. We'll just take feedback on what's here at this point.
So I think in terms of the health facilities priority, we really tried to communicate the intent of the conversation at the March 23rd meeting, and the wording is to around promoting stable, high quality services through the facilities that also respond to community needs. And the strategies, the two strategies articulated, first around the Palm Springs Hospital Facility Solution. Let me say that the strategies kind of acknowledge that there's a lot that's fluid in the facilities work. But the first strategy, really tried to define the criteria that will guide the Hospital Facility Solution in terms of standards for quality in facilities, the scope of services being responsive to community needs, of course, meeting the assessment standards and generating stable funding for the community. The second strategy was really an acknowledgement of the fact that there will be other facility discussions and potential opportunities, and that it articulates that we evaluate those opportunities in light of what the critical community needs are. The two outcomes outlined are really around coming to some clear plans, both for the hospital facility and for future facility investments. So let me stop there and see if any of the directors have any comment or feedback on it as it's articulated.
Members?
Director Matthews, Director Matthews.
Well, clearly this is facility focused,
right,
and you're going to broaden it, so
yes.
Right.
It's more than a building.
More than a building.
Well, also, we have two directors, district directors, that sit on the Palm Springs Hospital facility that also have that priority. So we have a dual role.
But we do have, I mean, the seismic thing in 2030, we're going to lose a lot of beds here if we don't deal with some seismic issues that could easily be $500 million worth of work, whether it's here or somewhere else or some combination thereof. So some long-range facility planning is clearly in our future.
And Director Matthews, do you think that intent is reflected in the strategies as they're articulated?
I think that's how I read your strategy there, was that we need to deal with the seismic issues. Because just as you well know, and now's a good time, because as you well know, the planning takes 7 to 10 years to get planning approved in California. So we really need to work with our partners, the community, and go, what do you think we need in the way of facilities or hospital or whatever between now and 2050 or 2060? I mean, you're looking that far into the future, and how does that impact with the expansion and whatever? So that's a critical a component, and one that we really haven't attended to much, because we haven't had the seismic deadline looming. And frankly, you know, other than some leaks that occasionally get fixed and whatever, you know, the hospital's held up, but it isn't gonna meet those deadlines in 2030. And so we have some work ahead of us there.
Well, and in the revised draft, we'll also be articulating here some of these target dates.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be it. That would be an important
feedback
in terms of informing what those are.
So if we expand the number, the brown, to providers, facilities, and services, then the strategies will expand, you know, to reflect that larger priority, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so we would need to identify those outcome targets, or at least propose some.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is providers in here, and I'm missing it?
It is.
Where is it?
Through primary care access and delivery system. And there's also on.
Where is that?
That's really captured in the community health focus areas. Remember these? Under,
you have to look at page 10.
H10,
it's your matrix thing.
Right.
Everything's in
H10.
It all.
But I'm not sure it's called out the way that the director is encouraging us to do.
Yeah, I think with the change in that priority or the content of that priority, it'll be much more highlighted. So we will look at that again.
Any other comments?
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
I have a question. If generate continued stable funding for community services, what's that mean?
What that means is that the hospital at times, and more so recently, we have aligned our community benefit programs, things that are important to the district, that are important to the residents, are important at the hospital, and
So it's aligning basically the needs together. It's encouraging the operator of the hospital to be philanthropic and to provide greater community benefit into the community.
You don't see this as a tax on hospital users that the operator will just pass through?
No, it's got nothing to do with that. This is about issues regarding community benefit and how they use their foundation. It has nothing to do with tax.
I see. So basically, the generate continued stable funding for community services is totally philanthropic.
Yes.
Go ahead. Is there another comment?
Gary's
got. Gary Roberts, Senior Vice President of Oracle Health. I appreciate the board's recognition of and attention to the importance of primary care access. And I'm curious about the strategy 1.2 and 2.2, it's primary care access is called out. How are those complementary or overlapping?
In 2.1 and 2.2?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 1.2 and 2.2.
Let me do it backwards. Sure. 2.2 was put here as a way to address a number of conversations that the board has had regarding the future beyond the hospital here. That the board has, for example, with Borrego, the board has provided numerous grants to build out various types of facilities for FQHCs and other, Martha's Kitchen, a lot of different sort of places that they've done. 1.2 sort of recognizes that there would now be a potentially very sort of big focus on these community health funding areas, so that within a facility, if an issue was, let's just say, the homelessness issue, they could come together in that you're building out or building a facility. Do you want to build a facility and then have an operator come in? Do you want to have the operator there and say, why don't you, build it out for us? So 2.2 is meant to recognize lots of possibilities of how to potentially look at philanthropic giving. Is it best to be building out clinics? Should the district be landlords because it has already managed facilities and is good at it? Is that a way to potentially then help more people by, So take a facility, do you build it out? Do you build it? Do you own it? Do you lease it? And then what are the programs and services with them?
Go ahead.
Strategy 2.1, long-term hospital facility. So I read, reach a long-term hospital facility solution that meets the following criteria. I assume that would mean we would be working with the operators of the hospitals to reach the following criteria. They would have to be involved.
Well, right.
Tenant or whoever else is.
Correct.
I mean, how are we going to reach, that criteria about being involved?
Directly.
Yeah. To build a hospital today, it is at OSHPOD 7 to 10 years. And a tenant quoted a number of 3.5 million a bed 10 years from now. Now, whether that's right or wrong. And it may or may not be tenant health. It might be some other arrangement. And I think we're all kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with the federal government. But so the planning for that comes into effect now. We know that there's some troubled, from a seismic standpoint, troubled assets sitting on the campus here that aren't going to get past 2030 without substantial work. And then you've got to maybe reconfigure that. As the other issue we have is the district expansion to the middle of the Salton Sea. And if you're now looking at the Coachella Valley again, and you're going to put in 300 hospital beds or facilities like that, would you go here? or would you go somewhere else? And then what do you do with this? How does that change this? And no one's gotten very far down that road, but that's really the kind of stuff that we have to start now because the time frame's so long.
Right, I would assume, whoever is going to be running the hospital, these would be priorities that we would need to be discussing with them on renewing the lease or leasing it to anyone else.
Well, we're having those discussions internally now, and those will be whether we lease, whether conceivably we could operate it ourselves again, or another third party. And with as much turmoil as there is in healthcare today, we're all kind of sitting here with our arms around each other going, the good thing is we're all in the Coachella Valley, and if we work together, we might be able to feed each other and take care of ourselves. But that facilities thing, and I'm glad Borrego's here, because when there was nothing in Desert Hot Springs, a couple of fledgling efforts got going, and Borrego came in and did some great work. We helped fund some of those facilities. We helped with the wellness center. And now there's, where there was nothing, there's pretty remarkable services available in Desert Hot Springs today compared to 10 years ago. And it was a cooperative effort with the community and the health providers there.
Does that answer your question? What was behind you?
Did that get any?
What were you trying
to do? Well, I'm seeing we have Palm Springs Hospital facility reach a long-term hospital facility solution that meets the following criteria. The long-term hospital facilities, who's running the hospital?
But that's what the term solution is.
The people that run the hospital, they would have to be in agreement to these, following these criteria, obviously. That would be a priority.
Right.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good question. I think you got it.
But long-term isn't just 10 years. Long-term is 20, 30, 40
right.
years out.
Exactly. Right.
You only legally can do a 30-year lease if the board would do a lease, but as Director Matthews said, this is a 3-year plan, so it's first sort of multi-year plan. We're now in the last 10 years of the 10th lease. So if you've got seismic issues, that's why the board's having an internal discussion, because if it takes 7 years to build, it means you have to be thinking about that long-term solution now. And what do you want as a district board before you get in front of any potential offer.
And community.
Correct. It's ultimately the community votes.
Okay, so let's go on. Thank you for all that comment. That section will be revised, obviously. So the third original priority, again, this may change if we restructure based on the feedback, is about information and community education, really establishing the visibility and credibility of the district as a community health leader and as an educator. So we have four strategies here. One focused on community awareness and visibility of the role of the district and the foundation. One focused on marketing and communications and connecting the residents to appropriate services. The third is outreach to providers, to funders, to public officials, to community health leaders, and to residents about the work of the district and the foundation. And the fourth is to establish new ways for the district and the foundation to solicit feedback from the community on the work the district and the foundation are doing. And so in the outcomes, you see first the development of a communications and marketing plan. Secondly, metrics to evaluate community awareness and how it's changing. An increase in the utilization of CVHIP and increased knowledge among residents about the district's priorities. And those are the suggested initial outcomes that are laid out for this priority area. So So feedback from the directors, and then we'll go to public comment. And again, this may move around as we restructure the plan, but we're hoping that the outcomes of the strategies will be incorporated within whatever the new structure of the plan is.
I have a question from our community about CBHIP. We've done, the district has spent a lot of money and effort into providing that service to the community. Are you all using it? Are you happy with it? Is there any problems that you foresee in terms of its utilization?
Do you know what it is?
Do you know what it is?
We haven't done any promotion on it.
They haven't done much promotion. Well, we have to some of our nonprofit partners. Go ahead.
So I'll just say an example at the center. We are often seen as a hub of information. So folks who are part of the LGBT community, they call us, and while we might not provide direct services, we use CBHIP, particularly our front desk volunteers who answer the phone and talk to people. That's the go-to resource to refer folks to other resources in the children. So we support use it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a sense that social workers at Eisenhower use CBHIP as they counsel their patients or what to do after discharge? I mean, I don't know.
We haven't touched base with Eisenhower, but we have, you know, worked with other groups besides them. Yeah.
I think millennials are the only ones who use CBHIP. That's my hypothesis. But that's good. We're in position.
This section contemplates, from a budget perspective, a policy, a very significant marketing communication strategy that includes, I sat down, for example, last Sunday with Eisenhower and their marketing folks to talk about the services that they're providing, what we're doing as a district. So, Alejandro and Mary have been out sort of broadly everywhere, but we're getting that word out. But the plan and the budget associated with it contemplates a very robust market.
I know that in one of our focus groups, there was some discussion about, are you aware of who and what the district is? And majority of the people don't know what the district is and what we do. So I think that that's one of our priorities, to get that message out there.
Yeah, I think our view is in terms of implicit in this is, you know, when you're not visible in the community, you're not visible sort of overall, that's why the DBA potential of the foundation, which this calls for, is it's hard for people to know what services you provide or what you fund. And there are a lot of organizations out there providing great services mm-hmm. that have not come forward. But in this sort of robust philanthropy, the board is going to be significantly proactive in terms of here's the initiatives and trying to go out to those communities and say, here's potential grant funds.
Mm-hmm. Well, for instance, I sat next to a woman at a luncheon who is a CEO of a nonprofit and you know, just mentions our grant program that she'd never heard of, and today we passed a grant application for nutrition program for cancer patients. So that, you know, it's just getting the word out about how we can help promote services in the community.
Well, that speaks to the comment that I was going to make about this box, the blue box. Because at least for me, information and community education isn't about elevating the district and foundation so much as it's about informing and educating the community on services and programs that are available. To me, the awareness of the district is an outcome. I mean, that'll happen if you do a good job informing and educating people about the programs and services that are available. So. I think, and you've got that over there somewhere. I saw the community awareness and visibility is sort of, but it's not, again, it's not about the, to me anyway, it's not about the district so much as it's about connecting and informing and educating about the resources, programs, and services.
And I think that's where the staff is as well, and we can noodle this. That's the primary responsibility.
Yeah.
That's why it needs to see the in all of this.
Sure. So I think in the next iteration, I think it'd be preferable to emphasize the connection and awareness level of the programs and services.
Good. Thanks, Dave, for the feedback. That's great. Great help. Okay. Shall we move on? Okay. Now we're going to go to public policy. Big and important issue. Rafael?
And the public policy priority really is particularly in the new world, and kind of two big areas. One is to have the capability to be able to provide monitoring guidance, but also impact analysis for the board around policies that would impact the value and health of residents, and also as a community resource in terms of providing policy-related information, technical assistance, and convenient support for community partners and residents around the impact of policies on local, state, federal level on the health of residents. And the two outcomes kind of reflect those aims. First, in terms of a policy agenda for the board, and secondly, in terms of regular convenience for the community. So I'd open it up and the board see if you all have any comments or questions. If it is reflected of the discussion. Any concern?
Are we thinking that the four public forums a year would be connected to the priority areas, or external forces driving change, or?
I mean, we left it broad for sort of the implementation plan, but it would likely track the priorities of the board and how to do that. For example, in healthy eating, active living, the budget, some of the other stuff would directly come in. So it should reflect the four funding areas, but the flexibility for the board to decide and say we want to do, we actually want to do homelessness, but we want to do these four pieces of homelessness.
Maybe we say up to four.
Agreed.
Let's build our way up.
Agreed. Yeah.
So let it be written, so let it be
written.
Or have district board meetings, foundation meetings, as a public policy, as one of those, and an area that's convenient for people to attend, like after work.
Well, in the implementation plan, there will be a proposal to do half of the meetings in the evening. Uh-huh. As a start.
Good point.
Good feedback.
Open to public comment.
Oh, let me just add one thing. This is probably where the word collaboration could be added. Uh-huh. Somewhere here.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for that feedback. So here is the fifth priority area, and one of much interest to everyone, on East Valley expansion. And there are four strategies that reflect expanding funding to cover the expanded region, engaging the community in focusing on the health needs in East Valley, adjusting the governance of the district to reflect the inclusion of the new territory, and developing specific funding initiatives in the East Valley. And as you can see from the outcomes, this area has more outcomes than any other because we try to be pretty methodical in thinking about in sequence what will potentially need to be measured in the East Valley effort. So first is to develop an East Valley outreach and education plan, then to open an office, perhaps part-time, but definitely a presence, a physical presence in the East Valley. These are identified to happen before the end of this year if the plan is adopted. To have four community forums in the East Valley, to get voter approval of the expansion in 2018, the end of 2018, to implement an East Valley funding plan, and then to develop a process for selecting new directors starting in 2018 and going on into 2019. So very specific in relation to East Valley.
And if I can say before you ask for questions of the board members, that last bullet was based on a lot of conversation that the board has had regarding wanting to be proactive in terms of not only being ready with the process to appoint, but to be like a year, you know, ahead of time to have districts ready for people to sort of run. So that was sort of very directly out of a number of conversations.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Eric. So feedback from the directors on this priority area. Hit the mark on this one? Any additions? Any questions? Please.
I don't particularly see the need for opening an East Valley office 5 months from now. I mean, I think that certainly there's work that we need to do to plan for the expansion, to get it passed, to plan for certain things, but having a physical presence in the East Valley 5 months from now, I wouldn't list it as an outcome that would be a priority for me.
Thanks, Les. How about other directors?
I agree with that. My comment circled on there was, to me, that is the first thing we do when we have an approval of a boundary expansion. And so I would have it be planned for November 2018, because that's one of the first things we will want to do, is establish a presence and right away. And
we can plan for that. We can plan for it ahead of time,
exactly,
but not implement it until it passes.
Exactly. I think you and I are thinking alike there. The outreach and education plan, I think, is a good move, and I think we do need to have that to elevate and inform and educate with regard to that expansion and all that will come with it. Up to and including, you know, the months leading up to that November 18th vote. And then those four community forums annually.
Up to.
You may find yourself, you may end up doing more of those as a part of the outreach. I mean, it started to get a little specific for me as far as those seem to me to be elements of the outreach and education plan.
Yeah.
Let me also, if I can make one comment about why staff proposed it, and we'll follow the will of the board. You may have some community comments here, you may not, but the staff has been out all over both the East and the West. And while there will be obviously some what I call outside district, in other words, campaign activity that will happen around the expansion, some of which the district can do because it will be its ballot initiative, some it cannot do. There is a strong desire amongst the community in the East who we're meeting with from an outreach perspective that is very much focused on, I think, wanting to see the district there. So we'll carry it through the way that the board was and do the job that we're paid to do and love to do. To do that, I just think we would be remiss if we don't let you know. It is a significant topic. It's a significant way you do outreach. We can disagree with it, but it has been sort of one of the two major sort of discussions with the community as we, and especially me, have been out into the East. That's why I just wanted you to know behind what it is. And there will be some amount of us having to just sort of, you know, have folks understand if we don't have a physical presence there, why, which is fine. I just wanted you to know.
Well, and also, I think that the community needs to know that the expansion initiative also includes the provision that we have a funding source to make that happen, which is why strategy 5.4 is up there. And you know, there's robust discussion amongst board members about how we might accomplish that. And Herb, do you want to maybe go 1 through 5 about what some of our ideas are?
Sure. There's been an ongoing discussion amongst the board and the community and elected officials and residents about potentially how to fund the expansion. Mr. Garcia's now law does require there be a funding source. So what we've started to talk about is, just as the West, the current district, has a funding source for its operational budget, the law actually calls for one in the East. And so there have been a number of ideas put on the table. The application to the Local Agency Formation Commission had, I think, at least a dozen, if not more, different ideas. Much of the focus has been on privately funding it through sort of, you know, contributions from private funders plus potentially the district, maybe for a period of 5 years, and then coming back to the ballot. There has been a significant discussion about a reallocation, if you will, of the already existing property tax that people already pay. And so the board did direct last month staff to engage the county in a negotiation with the district about the potential to maybe take a portion of some of that property tax fund to help fund district expansion. And that's an ongoing discussion, but not clear. The law says that the county has to meet, but the county doesn't have to give. So that's the negotiation. A parcel tax, one that we've actually pulled both the parcel tax and the reallocation, and they were pretty highly sort of favorable. But if you did a parcel tax to equal the same amount, which is $6 million, that we get from the property tax in the West, it's about a $65 per parcel for folks. There's been other ideas thrown out, like general obligation bonds and a variety of other things. So right now there's a current discussion in the county, but the board continues to discuss, and we certainly have been discussing throughout the community residents' views and stakeholders' views.
Okay, my thought on the purple box statement there, conduct a district expansion process, it just didn't seem strong enough to me. My suggestion is to say something more stronger and more confident, even, I mean, and committed.
So something like implement?
Well, or aggressively pursue expansion of the district to enhance providers, facilities, and services throughout the Coachella Valley. Something like that, that is aspirational, that is positive, that is committed.
Good. Okay, great feedback. That's what we need to do. Thank you. Les?
Can I ask our legal representative to discuss when community engagement crosses the line to campaigning in terms of expansion of the district?
Well, generally speaking, there is a bright line drawn between advocacy and information. And if you're merely informing your public about the pluses and minuses, and you're giving them, you're making a concerted effort to provide, I don't want to use the phrase fair and balanced, it's overused way too much in our parlance, but if you provide both sides of the issue in a balanced format to give the pros and the cons as part of an educational process, generally you're okay. And that's what you want to strive to be able to do. The process is complicated when a decision and an initiative formally makes it onto the ballot. And that adds almost a y-axis on the process and the efforts become more subject to scrutiny at that point in time as well. Because now you're not just talking about an educational process in a vacuum or an awareness raising, but you're doing so in the context of 90 days from now, you're going to ask this group of voters to give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So as you might imagine, that scrutinizing process becomes a little bit more intense.
This is that we're telling people that in November of 18, there's probably going to be an election, and we want them to vote for it. Yes. How do you not do that?
It's a great question.
And I'm going to have to take my mouth shut.
It's
important.
It just requires some concerted thought and effort and input in answering that properly. I don't feel real comfortable dealing with it right at the moment, but it is something that does have to be looked at.
But we can say things like, it is important, there are needs, and to expand the district would provide an opportunity to address those needs in the following potential ways. And the public needs, it's important that you understand what this may do, and here are the current conditions are this, and in the future with an expanded district, you might do this, factual, not opinion, but
and that's part of that dispassionate analytical process I'm talking about.
Yeah, but we can say something like, aggressively pursue expansion to enhance program services and providers, and feel comfortable that that's okay, for instance. But because we're not saying, and so, vote for measure X. Is that?
Yes.
I think that's a fair summation. Thank you.
There is a what I call a risk corridor when it is your initiative as a government agency, under great review director, that there is, you can go up to the line of advocacy, which you cannot do when it's your ballot initiative. You need to go to advocacy, you just don't campaign. You're not going out on the campaign team. You can advocate, and you can say support district expansion when it comes to, not that we would say it, but going through that way is, there is, and I got it from the Association of Healthcare Districts, and we went all through it, when it's your initiative.
And as individuals on your own time, without the expenditure of district resources, you could do as much of that or as little of that as you care to. The key distinction also is, the expenditure of district resources.
Correct.
In that advocacy effort.
Correct.
All right. I'm glad to hear such a strong support for doing this and for going out and doing that type of information out in the public, especially out in the East Valley. And certainly there are analyses for when Assemblymember Garcia's bill was making it through the legislature. You can take the information from those public documents and be able to share with people who may not have had access to it or may not know that those exist. Those are the types of educational things which are, whether it's passionate, dispassionate, it doesn't matter. It's information that people need and a key role that the board plays, whether it's thinking of expanding into an area or just providing information to the general public throughout the whole public area. And I also want to comment about the office. I know there may be some resistance to that, but I think that if we're talking about it and looking for input from the community, Woody Allen said 80% of life is showing up. Just having a presence, even if it's a part-time presence out there, sends a message to people to say, there is a concern about health that we all have throughout the valley, and we're here to support you. Regardless of whether you're having an issue or not, it's that we're all together. What you've talked about here, the promote one Coachella Valley.
I think it's a 2-day week.
So
good point.
Honestly.
Go ahead.
Okay, being fiscally responsible as a nonprofit and makes no widgets and has to rely on funding. When I look at your part-time office, the first thing that came to mind is, if they're leaving from here, you go to an hour and a half every day, folks. It doesn't become, then part-time becomes more time. And just the logistics of it is very important. because nobody wants to run up and down the highway. And I'm telling you, you're not as nice as you are when you're in your space. But it has its perks just based on the basic of driving, you know, and the time that you lose. And it would be, become then a three-quarter time staff effort that should really, if you're talking part-time, if it's 20 hours.
That's, that would be initially in the proposal
right.
that you made. It's so just it's initial, it's really expansion.
Right, so you learn your vendors and you learn your supporters. So I mean, that's kind of the way I would think about it, is from principle and comfort and just being familiar. When you're in a space, then you're familiar with the space and you learn where to go. I mean, it just is an element of being in the element.
Thank you. You and then you.
So I look to effectively engage as residents under the large purple box and then also community engagement, and to this gentleman's point about the just being there and having a presence, I think also something that hasn't been touched upon but is like hugely important, at least in terms of actual implementation, is language. So I would like to see something here that refers to that, you know, the importance of implementing Spanish speaking materials, staff, and name it. You know, call it out, name it, because that lends more color.
In the job description of the program officer and outreach director, that's in there. That's just there. It's good to call out.
Sure. The materials, information, yeah.
Right. Very like important.
Right.
To, you know, make sure all materials are translated and have a plan for what that looks like going forward.
Right. Good point.
I think following up on Ms. Barak's comment, if we're talking about this is one Coachella Valley, the other side of the valley is not a foreign country, and traveling back and forth every day is a normal course of business. I happen to live in the Indian Canyons neighborhood, and I work off the I-10 in India. It's 30 miles every day. I don't feel like I'm going to a different time zone. And I think one of the reasons that this has persisted is that you have people who live in one area and never bother to traverse to another. Mm-hmm. And that reinforces the idea that we live in these little siloed communities instead of the fact that we live in one very beautiful valley. I mean, our lines of demarcation are streets. People, we live on one side and the other. And we grocery shop on both and we park on the other. Like, it just seems divisive when we don't need it, so.
Good point. Thank
you. We've discussed this, and I really think we ought to consider, you know, whether it be the East Valley office or whatever, I think we ought to start scheduling some board meetings in the East Valley.
Sure.
Why don't we do it in the city? You know, City Coachella's got a television system they're not using in the middle of the day. We could go there and conduct a, you know, in advance, schedule a meeting, and hit some of these communities so people can start to get the word about who we are, what we do, and what we're trying to do. I think that would be, because I drive down to East Valley daily from the same neighborhood.
It's beautiful. Jennifer, anything you want to add?
I'm good. I think I got it well covered.
Okay. I've had a request for a 5-minute break from those of us who've been drinking too much liquid.
Thank you for
here,
passing
here.
Out. Here.
Is that TMI? We have 3 more pages to go through. Can we take a quick break?
Quick recess.
Quick recess, but please don't leave.
Bathroom, second floor, or outside of the writers at 1 o'clock.
That's great.
Second floor. Second floor? You need a key?
No, they might have
the
key for the
one side. So where are you living? Are you off of Boulder to Denver?
Not that far back.
Okay. I sneaked down 111th Street.
Yeah.
Lane Road, that's too.
Absolutely.
And all the cable television, all the mainstream TV. So the power's out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
move up.
Exactly.
It's out there.
Absolutely.
I don't want to miss it. It's a good issue.
Is the endowment already growing such that that's a guarantee?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Looking up things, finding things. Kind of.